We actually transferred, it was 261,000 Citi Thank You points that I transferred to Air France to fly my family of five business class to Paris. And then we actually transferred about 90,000 American Express points to fly back in economy. And there was actually a transfer bonus going on at the time. And the business class taxes and fees were about 1,000. And I want to say that the economy taxes and fees for all five of us were about 700 or so.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Gowrie, a student in the Points Accelerator program. We're here to bring you a story of how everyday people, that is, people who aren't necessarily full-time content creators, can also use points and miles to save tens of thousands of dollars on travel every year. Gowrie and her family are using more points to see more of the world, and I am so proud of how she is using what she's learned in the Points Accelerator to travel with her family using points and miles. In this episode, expect to hear about how Gowrie was able to fly her family of five in Air France business class, point strategies that can be used to travel with a family in luxury, strategies that Gowrie uses to keep her points bank replenished, even after big redemptions, and so much more. If you want to fly your family in business class too, you may want to check out Air France like Gowrie did. And the Capital One Venture X Rewards credit card earns points that can be transferred to Air France's Flying Blue program. The card also earns at least 2 points per dollar on all purchases and comes with a $300 credit to use in the Capital One travel portal. Remember though, if you decide to apply for the Capital One Venture X Rewards credit card or any other card, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. And if you are interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. And if you're interested in joining the Points Accelerator program so that you can save tens of thousands of dollars on luxury travel as well, join the waitlist at geobreezetravel.com/waitlist. And we have links to the Capital One Venture X Rewards credit card and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. If you are looking for some shortcuts for how to find great flight and hotel deals faster, listen up. I am hosting a free live training on the best tools and techniques to find award travel sweet spots faster. So if you are interested in the abridged playbook for how to turn your everyday expenses into as many points as possible and how to maximize those points when it comes time to redeem for luxury trips, you can register for the free live training at geobreezetravel.com/webinar. I only host these types of free live trainings once every few months, and recordings are not available afterwards, because we usually talk about some stuff that I'm not supposed to post on the internet. So if you miss it, you miss out. Again, you can register for free at geobreezetravel.com/webinar, and I will see you there. Hey, Gowrie, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hi, Julia. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to chat with you today about all of the amazing redemptions that you guys have been able to do with points and miles. Before we jump into how you guys did Q Suites and all of that, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into the game of points and miles?
Okay, so I basically opened up my first credit card. It was the American Express Blue Card, and it was basically accidentally a card that earned points, not membership reward points. And I basically used it for everything, my wedding expenses, everything out of college. And thankfully, I had the intuition to pay my bills at the end of the month, even though my mom gave me the very bad financial advice that credit card companies will actually shut you down if you pay your balance in full at the end of the month. They don't make any money off of you. And it wasn't until way later that I learned about interchange. But anyway, I used this for all of my wedding spend, my honeymoon. And then after I got married, my husband actually made me an authorized user on his LL Bean visa. And that basically earned us free tents and sleeping bags and so on and so forth. And that was our system. We used that for our home expenses. And then soon after, my husband actually opened up his business, which he is a dentist. And my father-in-law basically gave him the advice, because he actually purchased the practice from him, and to open up a credit card to do all the business expenses on. So he did some research and came up with the Capital One Spark Miles card, which earned 2 points per dollar spent. And it was basically a purchase eraser. In our minds, it was like a great deal. So that's what we did. And that was our system. We used these credit cards between personal and business. And then we collected all these points. But at that point, life happened and health issues and surgeries. And we just collected all these points. And then when the kids were about 3 and 5, we decided to go on a vacation that wasn't camping. And this is the point where I realized that my American Express card can actually transfer to transfer partners. I called American Express because I didn't know how to do the transfer. And they basically told me, oh, you have the wrong card. You need an everyday card. So I put that, made that part of my arsenal. And I also realized at this point that I didn't have enough points to book that JetBlue flight with American Express, because prior to this, I had actually spent about 200,000 points to get gift cards to purchase a Weber grill from Home Depot. So anyway, a few years after that, my husband and I bought some land and decided to build a house. My husband said to me something like, okay, why don't you do some research and figure out some credit cards we can open to put all this new expenses on. So that is when I found the points guy. And in all fairness, he was telling us, I was like, oh, I want to travel like him. He has all these Etihad flights that he's taking, and he's spending like 70,000 American Airlines points. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we have all the expenses to and earn all the points. And then so opening up the cards and earning the points and not realizing that you cannot really ever fly 5 people on Etihad business class anywhere, if ever. So that's basically our point story.
There is a lot to unpack there. So yeah. Your mom told you that if you carry a balance on your credit card, that keeps it from getting shut down due to inactivity. Oh, I am glad you did not follow that advice, because the interest rates that you would have paid on that would have been crazy. But it just kind of goes to show that the credit card game can be a little bit confusing to a lot of people who haven't played in it too long. And there's all of these different pieces of advice floating around where even people who have the best intentions, like I'm sure your mom wanted the best for you, but that is not great advice to carry a balance on your cards.
Right. Just so that credit cards don't shut you down.
So how many points did you guys have racked up before you were like, oh, we can spend some of these? Because you mentioned you were spending just on one or two cards for many decades.
Our Capital One Spark Miles card had over 600,000 points on it when we booked our trip to St. Thomas. We just basically used it as a purchase eraser and probably spent about half those points. At the time, it was just the four of us. My youngest hadn't been born yet. So by the time you fly 4 people from a small airport in upstate New York down to the Caribbean and then a 7-day hotel stay, we probably used about half of those points to do all, essentially about $3,000 worth of points.
How about L.L. Bean? How many L.L. Bean points did you guys have from using that card over the years?
Probably over 100,000. Traded those in for tents and sleeping bags and all those coats and blankets, all the camping supplies. Yeah.
So when you realize that, oh, it's going to be much harder than just advertised to fly 5 people in Etihad, what did you do then where you're like, I still want to fly business class, but it is much harder if you're trying to find 5 business class flights on the same plane versus just one person finding a good business class or first class deal? What was your next move?
Yeah, I mean, it was basically like deflation. Like it was just being completely deflated. That was not possible. And I just like searched the internet for other podcasters and blogs and so on and so forth about flying 5 people free. And there really wasn't a ton of stuff out there. This was like pre-COVID. Economy, Southwest, Companion Pass, those kinds of things came up about flying families. But flying business class with 5 people, it was just not something that many people at that time were doing. But I, in my heart, I really wanted to do that.
So being solution oriented as you are, you eventually did get to make it happen, right? Where you were able to fly your entire family in business class. How did you go about doing that?
Yes. I think eventually I somehow stumbled upon your podcast and the points accelerator, and it was basically, I had a lot of points and just like learning which airline programs had 5 business class seats at any given time. This travel hacking, it's very nuanced. There's a lot of moving pieces, and Air France turns out to be one of those airlines that happens to have several business class seats many months in advance. So I just kind of like jumped on it. Okay, we're going to Paris, everybody.
Yeah, that works great if you can kind of chase the deal instead of being like, I really want to fly Etihad. We're going to go to Abu Dhabi. There's not any availability. There's definitely not availability for 5 people. What do we do? If you are flexible like that, especially when it's your first business class redemption and saying, who else is able to get a family of 4 or 5 or 6 all into the same business class cabin? Oh, someone was able to do that with Air France. Maybe I can recreate the trip they did. Taking that approach is really, really powerful. And that's why we feature so many everyday people on the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, is to show where it might be easier to find these different types of great trips that you see other people doing on the internet and wondering, how is it going to be possible for me and my family? So Air France is a great one to start with if you are trying to get multiple people onto the same flight. How many points did you spend for your family to fly this?
Right. So we actually transferred, it was 261,000 Citi Thank You points that I transferred to Air France to fly my family of 5 business class to Paris. And then we actually transferred about 90,000 American Express points to fly back in economy. And there was actually a transfer bonus going on at the time. And the business class taxes and fees were about 1,000. And I want to say that the economy taxes and fees for all 5 of us were about 700 or so.
Were these all just from points that you had accumulated already for the Etihad trip where you were like, it's not going to happen? Or how did you earn that many points? Because somebody's doing the math right now being like, oh, that's like 400,000, 500,000 points. Yeah. How did you earn that many points?
After I kind of fell down the points guy rabbit hole, I did haphazardly open up like a lot of credit cards, like not knowing any rules, just like being a little nervous about, oh my gosh, I'm opening all these credit cards, and especially on the business side. So I did, when I first got to the points guy and I'm thinking about the Etihad, I literally opened up the Advantage Platinum Citi cards for both my husband and I, personal and on the business side, and the Barclays AA Aviator Red cards, both for myself and my husband, personal, and one for the business. I had a lot of American Airlines points until I figured out that, yeah, Etihad is just not happening for my family. It was actually not even Abu Dhabi. It was like, we wanted to go to India, like beyond to Sri Lanka, like beyond the Middle East. So in the same time too, I'm opening all these cards. I decided to open up a Chase Inc. preferred card and the American Express Platinum. So in addition to these like other American Airlines cards, I opened up those 2 cards for the business. There was probably sizable sign-up bonuses, and then just the business spends a lot of money. So like we had a lot of Amex points racked up. So this is several years of just putting a lot of spend at a 1-to-1 point ratio, right? Until of course we put the Rakuten in there, and then you put all the other stacking things in there, and just more sign-up bonuses. And I haven't opened up 20 credit cards yet, but I think I'm up to about 17.
Over the course of multiple years.
Yes, right? Over the course of multiple years, yeah. And I did end up like closing a bunch of those American airline cards because I realized we were paying the annual fees, and it's just like, what are we doing here? We're not going on Etihad business. But yeah, it was kind of like a search to figure out what can I do. But yeah, I had a lot of American Express points just from the day-to-day spend from the business aspect, because the business does spend a lot of money.
I think that's good and important for people to recognize that oftentimes, if you are booking business class flights for multiple people, it can take multiple years. I know everything on the internet is just like, you can have it all right now. That's where people start opening 20 credit cards in a year, and then they just blow their finances out of proportion because they didn't plan intentionally. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I've been saving up for a year, almost 2 years, to earn this many points, I've been steadily getting new cards and optimizing. If you're trying to get 5 or 6 people in business class round trip, it's going to take a while, and that's okay. You don't have to race everybody else on the internet. Eventually, you will get to where you need to be, and all will be okay. So when you did finally get to make this Air France redemption, how did you feel?
It was actually really exciting. We were all excited. But I will tell you the best part in retrospect, we haven't taken any of our other redemptions that I've booked yet, but our Air France flight home was actually canceled. And so I was aware of the EU 261 rule, but I just assumed that this applied to the fact that Air France literally bent over backwards to get us home. They gave us like swag bags and like overnight accommodations and dinner, like a cold dinner and breakfast in the morning and all this stuff. And then to boot, like our bags even showed up with us even after we had to get rerouted through Nice on a Delta flight back to JFK. So I assumed that this was EU 261, that this is basically what they do if your flight gets canceled. But that was wrong. It turns out that in addition to all that, you are actually allowed to get some financial compensation. And it was a very easy Google form that I filled out several months after this happened because I read some article somewhere. And so our flight that was canceled was back in August. In November, I filled out this Google form, very simple 2-minute form. And sure enough, about 3 weeks later, I have $3,000 sitting in my bank account because there was five of us that had a canceled flight. Our trip to France not only was paid in points, but everything else paid itself as well, thanks to our canceled flight, which was annoying at the time, but my husband was excited.
When you guys flew back, did they put you on like a Delta business class flight or just economy?
No. So we had actually booked our flights home in economy anyway. So yeah, they rerouted us on Air France to Nice, and then a Delta flight from Nice to JFK.
Okay, so you didn't have to drop down a class or anything like that. Did you get all of your points back into Air France?
They did not give us our points back. We had paid for like upgraded seats in terms of being able to sit in closer to the front, and they did give us the money back for that, plus the $3,000+ for canceling our flight.
Once you had taken this flight to France, did that kind of deplete all of the points that you had earned over the years, or did you still have some in the points bank?
Oh, gosh, no. Between the stacking and the Rakuten deals and just like knowing to at least get 2 cents per dollar that's spent, points keep replenishing themselves miraculously. I have no idea.
Tell us about Q-Suites. How did you find that one? Because that one is also a dream trip for a lot of people where they're like, I can't find availability. How did you do this?
I was tracking the flights on British Airways because they release their flights like 355 days in advance. And it seems that that 355 mark or maybe like within a few days, there appears to be like 2 seats available pretty consistently. So right at that mark, I booked the 2 Q-suite flights, transferred American Express to British Airways Avios, and then booked the 2 seats out of JFK. And then, on the way back, so I saw that American Airlines had, once again, the dream Etihad. They had for 70K points per person back, but unfortunately that ended up being a phantom space. And I used those, so 140,000 points total for the two of us to come back on Q-Suites, but this time I booked via American Airlines points. Yeah, poor me. I have to fly Q-Suites twice and not Etihad right now.
Oh, man, that Etihad award space is really elusive. But okay, so the Q-Suites, you only had to find 2 seats because it was just you and your husband.
Right.
So that makes it a lot easier.
Right.
Did you book hotels with all of these different trips too, or did you just use money for those?
So for Paris, because we're a family of five, we had to book 2 rooms. I booked the Paris, is the Regency Etoile, and it was 50K points for the 2 nights we stayed there. And we had to get 2 rooms. It was like a club room. And I did like the hotel upgrade template, and they actually gave us connecting rooms, which I believe is what they end up giving globalists at this hotel. And then after the 2 days, we left Paris and did the little like countryside. There's really no point hotels in the French countryside. And then for Maldives, we had a bunch of Hilton points from just credit cards that we opened on the Hilton side, just personal cards. They also have the Surpass card. So you spend the $15,000 per year, which between the business spend and our personal spend, it's pretty easy for us to achieve that. So got the free night there. So I booked 4 nights, 3 with points and 1 with a Greenet certificate in the Maldives. It's the Conrad Rangali Overwater Bungalow.
If you had to pay for all of the travel that you've gotten with Maldives and Paris and some of these other trips, do you know roughly how much this would cost as a sticker price from just retail?
Yeah, I mean a lot. I think the Qatar Q Suite alone is like what, 4,000 per seat each way. And then I actually just randomly looked up Air France, even economy round trip for five people from JFK, and it's like $5,000 for just five people to fly round trip to France economy. So yeah, I mean a lot. I haven't really done like the complete math on it, but I'm going to guess like in the 20,000 range.
Oh, probably more than that. I think just for two people flying Q suites to the Maldives, each of those tickets is going to be $8,000 to $10,000. So I think just your Maldives flights is probably close to 20,000, not even including the hotel, not including your family's flight over to France or the hotels in France. I think you're probably closer to like 30,000, maybe more, 40,
Wow.
30 something with all of that.
Yeah. And then the other, like my third redemption that I've done with these points is my mom and I are going to Sri Lanka with on Turkish business class in August. And then she's flying back separately from me because she just wanted to stay there longer. So I booked her on a Q suite back using American Airlines points again. And I'm flying Singapore business via, I don't know, even Changi from Colombo Changi to JFK. So I'm excited about that too.
Did you tell your mom that you were able to do all this on points and it's definitely best to pay off your credit card in full?
She knows I did it on points, but I think she just thinks I'm really rich.
I'm sure a lot of people listening to this podcast might be thinking the same thing too, where they're like, well, how do we earn points if we don't own a dental practice? What are some of your recommendations to families who are kind of starting out where you were back in the L.L. Bean days, where
Yeah.
they're like, I want to fly like this, but we just don't have that much spend. What are some of the other ways that you are able to stack and earn points? Because I know you kind of alluded to Rakuten and some other methods earlier.
Yeah. So I think even for someone like my mom that was an immigrant and like basically lived paycheck to paycheck, she always paid her rent. So like the Bilt card, I think for people who pay rent is a game changer. If we were just starting out now, and I said to my mom, here, take this credit card and use it to pay your rent and always have money in your bank account to cover your rent. Come back to me in a year and I will use your points to book a trip somewhere. So I think the Bilt card for those who pay rent is like a game changer if you like to travel. For other people that don't have the spend like I do, I think it's just like more of a marathon. Just do your stacking, do your. I pretty much stick to Rakuten for Amex points. I like my American Airlines points, obviously, because I'm like a Q suite person, apparently. Those are the two shopping portals I basically use, and the sign-up bonuses, which once again, it's a marathon. I've been doing this for a while and opening credit cards, and that would be my advice.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Again, just really good for people to hear that you don't have to take three or four business class flights a year with your entire family, because that's basically buying 15 round trip business class flights in a year. And for people who have less than $100,000 of expenses to expect to be able to replenish enough points to do that for a family of five every single year is, I think, a little bit out there. And if we break down that math, it just doesn't work out without constantly opening cards, which I don't really recommend most people do because all the energy that goes into that takes away from so many things, like just being able to budget for like higher trips or just other household expenses anyway. So the energy required to maintain that many cards in a year does take away from some other things, or they're just really stretching their budget and like doing some weird points aerobics math to be like, I have to keep up with somebody else I saw on the internet, because we've mentioned on the show before, but Instagram is an illusion. So kind of just doing what works for your family and going at a slower pace of maybe just one really big trip a year. It's so much better than what so many other people get to experience as far as travel. Most people will never experience business class in their life. So I think that is very solid advice. As far as your points bank though, you still have a ton of points ready to go. Like you mentioned, your points bank is just being able to replenish itself through organic spend, opening a new card here and there, some of the different stacking techniques and other things we teach in the points accelerator. What's next? Still going for that elusive Etihad award space
Yeah.
or something else?
Well, I've kind of resolved myself to feeling like, okay, the Etihad is never going to happen with the whole family, but someday when I will certainly just do that as a couples trip at some point. But yeah, so we have our Maldives coming up in April, and the Singapore, for me, Singapore Airlines and Turkish business class with my mom. So looking forward to those redemptions.
Did you book any hotels in Singapore or the Maldives or anywhere else as well?
So the Maldives was like the Hilton, Conrad, okay. Rangali. And then Singapore is just a 5-hour layover, and I'm just going to like rush home. Yeah. And then in Sri Lanka, there's really not a lot of quaint hotels necessarily, but it's so cheap that it doesn't really matter.
So you've dropped so many great gems today for people who are traveling with a large family and trying to get all of them award tickets on the same flight, what to do if you want to fly in some luxurious products like Q-Suites, how you're replenishing your points. If you had to sum up everything you've learned in the last couple of years when you've really accelerated your points, what would your number one piece of advice be for listeners today?
Travel hacking is very nuanced. Like, there's so much to learn. Once you start making your bookings, I feel like you just I'm constantly running into snags. So I think you just kind of have to dive in and just do it. And there are things that you just can't learn on the internet. You just have to do it and learn from what you come up with and just problem solve through whatever comes up. And yeah, just do it.
Yeah, and always being solutions focused and solutions oriented, I think, is so important as well. I'm so glad you didn't just give up when you were like, can't make Etihad happen. Guess we're not doing business class, because there are other options like Air France, which is fantastic.
Right, exactly.
Great advice. And speaking of great advice, anyone else or any other resources that you would recommend people check out on the internet as well?
I love just following bunch of people on Instagram. I follow the Points Analyst. He has like a newsletter now, and I actually signed up for his premium subscriber. So yeah, there's just, and of course you, but if you already listen to this podcast, they're already following you. For family travel, there's Katie's Travel Tricks. I think she has a whole big free course on how to get the Southwest Companion Pass. And yeah, there's a lot of great Instagram. Most of them have come on your podcast, I think. And that's through them. I just try to follow them, and they have other people they follow. And yeah, you just can learn a lot of stuff on Instagram.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again, Gauri, so much for coming onto the podcast. Thank you for being part of the Points Accelerator course and community. I'm so proud of you and everything that you have been able to accomplish with your trip to Paris, your trip to the Maldives, Turkish Airlines business class, and everything else. So congratulations on really leveling up your points game.
Thank you, Julia. Thank you for all your help.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels! Thank you.